and welcome to the 101st episode
Boom.
Of William Bat Pow. Ooh, sound effects already. This is an action and sci-fi movie podcast. We talk about action and sci-fi movies on this podcast. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Coco Palau himself. The sound effects wizard, Mr. Foley.
Oh, thank
Ricky
you.
Ricky Carmona. How are you doing, Ricky?
I am having a great day. Did I listen
awesome.
To the Beverly Hills Cop theme song, Axel Foley, today by Harold Faltermeyer? You goddamn right I did.
Hell yeah.
Because that's what you do on hiatus. So great. To bring it back to your world, Rhea, and that was wonderful.
Thank
by
you.
The way, that was wonderful.
Thank you.
There is a moment that happens in that song that's very, I shit you not, I almost texted you about this, that is very similar to the Back to the Future theme.
Oh, I believe it.
Where it's like, in the Back to the Future theme, it's like when these strings kick up.
Yeah.
And it's like, in the movie, I think it's like when Marty McFly is like trying to explain to like Doc Brown, like, hey, you got to go back. It like when it's during the whole big clock tower sequence.
Oh, yeah. And on the night, I go back. Sorry, that was super loud,
no,
everybody.
No, it's great. And there's a moment where like the theme really like kicks in and you go, fuck, I'm watching Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a moment where like it kind of like dies down and these strings pick up and you can just hear the theme in the background. And I'm always like, God damn, I love this moment.
Yeah.
Same exact thing happens in the Axel Foley song.
Sure, oh, man.
Same exact thing, but with the synthesizer instead of violins.
Huh. I'll have to check that out.
Would you please?
There's so many theme songs that sound just like the Back to the Future theme song.
The only one
that comes to my mind is Predator, because it's the same.
Well, shout out to our boy, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Alan Silvestri.
Alan Silvestri.
I mean, that's our boy.
That's our boy, baby. Silvestri. That's so funny that you mentioned that scene, because I was driving around and I just started acting that scene out in my head.
Oh, the places our brains go to.
I know.
Just for fun.
Mine, usually Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Just all the time.
That's like one.
My screensaver that's playing in the background of my brain.
Solid choices.
But anyway, that's why we do this show, because we're super weirdos that text each other about soundtracks, and we love movies.
These are the decisions we make in our life for you out there. For you!
And last week we had our 100th episode, which I still can't believe. I can't believe it. And a lot of people tweeted at us, which is super awesome, because it makes me feel good, makes Ricky feel good, makes Cameron feel good, who's not here, and which I should take this moment to explain why she's not here, and that is because she is writing a novel. She's writing a book. It's not a novel, but I just wanted to say the word novel.
It sounds fancy when you say novel.
Yeah, it's fancy.
Yeah.
Which is super awesome, right, everybody?
Yes, it's awesome!
So that's why she's not going to be here, because she needs to take some time off, get her brain going, and write that damn book. So I'm excited about that. Ricky and I are excited about
that. It's a wonderful thing.
And we're hoping in the next couple episodes we're going to get some awesome guests on the show and spice it up.
Yeah.
Have that three-way conversation about movies. Ugh, I'm sorry.
No, that was great. Rhea, take it to the gutter.
Taking it to the gutter. Anyway.
I was going to go, take it to the gutter.
That's way better.
One more time.
Yeah. But anyway, if you guys love this show, and you told us that, please take a second to give us a review on iTunes and to like our Facebook page, you know, and keep tweeting at us and stuff. But those are the spots that it really, you know, means a lot to us and bumps us up and gets us into new people's ears and all kinds of stuff. So take a minute with that. And this week we are reviewing 2003's disaster flick, The Core, which is available on Netflix Watch Instant, and we will be spoiling the movie. We'll just be talking about it openly, so check that out before you get to the end of the show. Then we'll be right back with news, reviews, and things you can use right after this. All right, we're back with our favorite segment, news, reviews, and things you can use. I need to come up with more things you can use. We're mostly just talking about news.
Yeah.
But I did fix my door frame today, so that's something you could use, you know?
Did you use a Blu-ray or any kind of movie-related device?
A drill, and I feel like there's a lot of drills in some movies. I don't know.
We should have a segment that's like a tool time, but like with like movies.
Yeah.
Like,
and that will
definitely be the theme song.
I had to fix it because it got completely ripped off during a sleepwalking incident last Whoa. Night. I was sleepwalking, and yeah, it just came right off. So
wow.
I'm just going to leave it at there.
Yeah.
Leave it at that. So everybody can just imagine, like, how the hell did she rip her door frame? Well, it happened.
That's it.
Ugh, sleepwalking is terrible.
Do you ever record yourself to see, like, where you're sleepwalking to? Or are you like,
no,
no,
but
I don't see all that.
I know. I mean, that would be interesting, but I would have to have some sort of, like, you know, like camera to hard drive thing
yeah.
set up because.
Well, did you get like one of those like heat sensor? Don't they sell those
yes,
anywhere?
They yeah. absolutely do. I mean, I absolutely could have, you know, like a. I absolutely could. I think I would be terrified if I saw it. I always know, I always go like three places.
Yeah.
And I swear we're going to talk about movies, but I feel like this is interesting.
No, this is very interesting to me.
I go to the bedroom door.
Yeah.
That's one place. I go to the kitchen. That's second place.
Okay.
And then the third place on Roll Dangerous Nights,
Ew.
I go to the front door.
What?
And I'm usually checking to see if it's locked.
Ah.
Even though I'm sleepwalking, I'm like, it's not locked. Somebody's trying to get in. I always think somebody's trying to get in the house.
Are you saying words when, like, do you
Sometimes.
Think, like, are they really?
Sometimes I speak to people.
Ooh.
And I have no, it's so hard to explain other than just simply like the machine, the car is running, but nobody's driving.
No,
you know,
I'm,
like I can
I'm
see
all in.
It. I can see everything that's happening, but my processor isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
There's like something, there's a fog between the two things. So there's almost a delay. Like I can't control what's happening.
Yeah.
To me. It's like this very terrifying episode of Tales from the Crypt that
Ooh.
Scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. I believe Tony Goldwyn was in it.
Ooh.
Where there was either a prank or it was a prank gone bad where his friends knocked him out and he thought he was dead.
But he's not.
But he's not dead.
Yeah,
and then they do the autopsy on him.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like the whole thing is terrifying. That is what it feels like.
Ah.
Where you're just completely out of control, but you can see everything and your brain's going and.
That's insane.
It's happened my entire
insane,
life.
Insane, like awesome insane.
Yes, it's happened since I can remember.
I have sometimes when I sleep, I could swear when it's happening that I'm like trying to like scream like,
oh, yeah.
wake up, Ricky, you're in a nightmare or something. But I'm
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but it won't come out.
But the next day I want to be like to my roommate, like, hey, if I was yelling,
was that
when did you hear anything like that? No?
The most specific instance of sleepwalking where I was talking was I was probably around 7 or 8 and I stayed at my friend's house and her bedroom had a hollow door and someone had like swung it open real fast and it hit the doorstop. So there was a hole in the door, but only on one side of the hollow door. And so I got up in the middle of the night and got up on all fours, was looking in the hole on the ground. So, I mean, where the doorstop was.
Yeah.
So you know where that is, like in relation to the floor. It was down at the bottom and I was just going, we got to go get the ball. The ball went through the hole. And my friend was like, what is going on? This was like 12 o'clock at night.
Well,
and I was
ow.
Like, nothing. Because every time I just get embarrassed and I'm like, eh.
Something happened between you and doors, woman. And
yeah.
we need to find that out.
Me and doors. I am now an LA woman. So
boom.
I got to break on through to the other side
See,
of
I mean,
this.
This
problem.
Is just writing itself.
It really is. So back to movies. The first thing I was going to mention, now, here's one of my blind spots. I have a lot of blind spots. This is probably my biggest one. Anime.
Mm.
Just never caught on to it.
Yeah.
Never was around it. Had a brief stint with Dragon Ball Z, which I don't think is really, is that anime? I'm not sure.
I think the cartoon itself was
Lindsay
anime.
Is giving me a thumbs up.
Yeah,
okay.
Right? All right. Boom. Shout out to Lindsay.
Shout out to producer Lindsay. Thank you for the thumbs up. So this is about the Akira movie that
mm-hmm.
has been sort of bouncing around for a while. Marco Ramirez, who's the Daredevil showrunner and who's also written on other shows like Orange is the New Black, has now been tapped to write the screenplay for this movie. So I watched some of Daredevil. I couldn't get into it. Everybody's
oh, really?
Like losing their minds about it, and I just found it to be very boring.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know. I can't put my finger on
yeah.
what it was about that show that bothered me that
You're
I just couldn't get into.
Blind to it, you
I'm
might
almost,
say.
It was, yes, I'm blind to it.
It takes about, I think, like, episode 5.
All right.
Or 6.
I try to give everything really, 4.
Yeah.
You know? I couldn't even get to 4. I couldn't even get to 4.
Wow.
Ricky. I'll probably get back in there.
It's not a great Netflix show. Now they're starting to put shows out and we're starting to like separate them. All right. This is a Netflix level show.
Yeah.
I think it's a solid B level Netflix show.
And for a first
season, that's pretty good. I mean, that's good.
Then also, I feel like as a television comic book show, it ranks very highly.
Just because television comic
book shows have been sort of fumbling around, it seems like. Like, Constantine was fully canceled.
And Hollywood's own friend of the show, Brady Novak, does tremendous work as the kingpin on that show.
Great point. That's very funny. Visual gag. Everybody look it up. Then you'll be laughing about it.
Past host of co-host of the show, Brady
past
Novak.
Past co-host of the
who
show.
Who you love so much.
Brady Novak.
Vincent D'Onofrio on that show, his storyline is handled very well on
that
show.
There's so many things that I do like about it, but I just was like, ugh, this is driving me crazy. He also looks like that actor that played Gil or the kid in Shawshank Redemption.
He does look like Love in a 45.
So I just
Gil
keep
Bellows.
I just keep looking at him going, huh, you look like that guy. It's driving me nuts. You were talking about Netflix shows. Where would you rank Scrotal Recall on that list?
That's a show that I actually. It's one of those shows that everybody goes, hey, it's called Scrotal Recall.
It's
supposed to be really good.
Is it?
Everybody says. And that's so funny, conversation I have with it.
I was just sitting there and I'll just be scrolling through and Cameron's like, come on. Every time it comes through.
It's supposed to be very good. I've heard people talk about it on other podcasts like that. It has been brought up to me like, I know that's what it's called, but you need to watch it.
But check it out.
Yeah, like, all right, I'll
it's
give
like
it a shot.
It's like a whoopee cushion in my Netflix, too. Just every now and then I'm like, oh, there it is again. You got me.
Oh, Netflix whoopee cushion, where you at? Make that app, girl. Make all that money.
Yeah, it's a plug-in.
Oh, that's great.
That is a funny joke. It would never work on stage. It's only going to work in this context from me to you, Ricky.
So how do you
feel about Marco Ramirez writing this Akira screenplay? Because I think you're a little more familiar with it than I am.
Here's what I know about anime and Akira. Mm-hmm. I don't really know that. I know it exists.
Sure.
So I don't know if I'm always getting it. Mm-hmm. Like, Akira, it's about some kid named Akira, I think.
Okay.
And then he is, like, able to get, like, this, like, huge superpower. But not like they're not like superhero superpowers. He's just able to, and there are so many people listening to this right now getting
so mad.
Furious. So you know what? I'm gonna ruin it even more.
Yeah.
And then like he gets like a big head. I think his superpower is like big head syndrome.
Oh boy.
So he's like, oh man, I got this big ass head. What do I do? Like live with it or save the world? And then this other gang is there. And I think they want to take control of him.
I love this description.
Oh, I'm telling you. And then at the end, he has his dope-ass red motorcycle.
Okay, great.
Boom! Boom,
this
son,
sounds a
Akira.
Little bit like the Amazing video by Aerosmith.
And this, all the music in Akira is by Aerosmith.
It's by Aerosmith.
Oh, it's great.
From the album Pump.
Which one is Living on the Edge on it? Is that Pump?
No, that's the one with the udders on the front. I can't even think of what that's called. If it's called like Greatest Hits or something, I don't know. Living on the Edge.
Can't help yourself.
Ow! That part.
That's a great song.
Edward Furlong is in that video throwing condoms in a bush. What a metaphor.
That was a solid year in music videos.
Living on the Edge. I'm crazy. Because I'm crying, because you're living on the edge, and it's amazing. Mm. That's my favorite Aerosmith joke I've ever written. Anyway, moving on. The next thing that I want to talk about is a thing I don't know that many listeners, and myself included in this, wanted or thought about, but the Boondock Saints are getting a TV show, which of course is being like helmed by Troy Duffy, the dude that wrote it, and it's going to be a prequel. Which I guess he was trying to make a third installment of the franchise, which was going to be about like their first crime or whatever. And now that is basically turning into this TV show. Mm. How do you feel about Boondock Saints?
Well, I want to congratulate them on giving me now three chances to not watch care. Or
Have
care.
Have you not
about...
seen the first one?
I barely got through it.
Sure.
I mean, this is one of those movies that people were like, dude, you like
you
movies?
Have to see the...
You need to watch
now,
the Boondock
Let me
Saints.
Ask you a question specifically about that.
Okay.
Were these friends of yours that are also super into movies, or are these people that are not super into movies, but by watching this movie and liking this movie, they thought, hey, I'm super into movies?
No, I don't think... it was a combination of that.
Yeah.
It was either people... Yeah, it was either, like, those people or people who were, like, really into movies and thought, oh, man, this is... But, I mean, I was just like, what did you see that I saw that I didn't see? Or that... I mean, it was rough.
Yes.
And then they made a sequel.
Yes.
And that one, I didn't even finish 10 minutes of that.
Yeah. Only good part of this movie, Boondock Saints, Norman Reedus. That's it.
I forgot
I just like that guy.
That's him.
And
Damn.
Then maybe, if I'm remembering it correctly, I've seen it maybe once or twice, the scene where Defoe is like visualizing their crime when he's in the crime scene. That's the only thing that I think is good about it. Anyway, I just think it's crazy that this guy's getting another chance, because I did watch the documentary about him, and that dude is nuts.
I do want to see that.
Yes, see that. If you're interested in this at all, or this world, or it just is very interesting to watch a documentary about someone that's very unhinged, that also made a movie that you're like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
Now I get why you made this crazy violent movie that is completely out of any realistic context whatsoever. But you think this is a realistic context for a movie to happen.
Is that his view on things?
From what I remember watching the documentary, he's just like got a bit of a god complex in terms of filmmaking. seems pretty hard to work with. But speaking of TV shows or movies to TV shows, now I'm going to go TV shows to movies.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's, let's see, about 15 years late.
Okay.
They're making a punked movie.
Oh. All right.
Every time these weird things come up, I think, well, we don't have anything else to make movies about. This is one of those times.
Wow. Yeah.
I can't tell if it's supposed to be like a throwback or what they're trying to do with this. Will you go see a punked movie, Ricky?
I saw the sketch where they made Justin Timberlake think that they like blew his house up or some shit.
No, it was that the IRS was raiding his house.
Right, yes.
And they like smashed, they like made props of specific things from his house and they like smashed it. Now, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first however many episodes of that show, like the reality of like pranking celebrities at that time.
Absolutely.
So great.
Yeah.
But now, like, we've already had everything.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
And, you know?
And actually, and this is just like it's kind of like when a comic goes to a comedy show and you're like, you don't laugh. Like, I watch so many videos online that, like, if it doesn't, like, I feel terrible saying this, but if it doesn't, like, hook me, like, right away, I'm
like,
no. Nope.
Like, 5 seconds.
I've seen, what are you doing that's new? Oh, you're tricking that person.
And I
Wonderful.
Just think there are so many screenplays out there. Why are you making a punked movie?
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway. Yeah. See, it's a very slow news day. I don't know if you can tell. It's Monday of this week. There's not a ton of news out there. I didn't really want to spend a lot of time on talking about the fact that C-3PO has a red arm.
Whoa.
There's not a lot going on.
Whoa.
But I did watch a trailer that I'm interested in for Southpaw, the Antoine Fuqua movie.
Mm, yes.
That will be coming out starring Jake Gyllenhaal and... Rachel McAdam, and also Forrest Whitaker. Glad to see Forrest Whitaker back in there.
Oscar winner, Academy Award winner.
Hell yeah.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. The last movie I saw him in was The Butler. Movie not so great altogether, but it was an interesting story.
Mm.
Was also good in it. What?
I was going to say, my favorite Forrest Whitaker performance, Species.
Species? My favorite real Forrest Whitaker performance is Ghost Dog.
You know, I need to see Ghost
what?
Dog again.
Oh.
I need to see it again. I know.
For a second there.
I know.
I got real
lower
scared.
Lower your weapons, everybody. Lower your weapons.
I had my samurai sword.
She got
up.
Real. Because
calling
that's,
my pigeons in on you.
That's another one, like Boondock Saints. Same thing.
Oh,
hey,
yeah,
people, you
got to
see this movie. And then it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be about.
Yes.
But it wasn't like, oh, I hate this movie. I was just like, oh, man, I wasn't expecting any of this.
Sure.
And I don't want to like it just because it's not what I was expecting. Or to sit down and go,
well,
like,
it is
oh,
hard
it's a movie
when you go
this.
In thinking like, oh, this is going to be like a samurai movie.
Yeah.
And
oh,
then you're
and
like,
it is.
Oh, it's a meditation? Okay.
It's not that at all.
Yeah. But this trailer that I watched today.
Soundtrack by the RZA as well?
Yes.
Jesus.
Well, that's where he like started the soundtrack business with Jim Jarmusch. Was that the first one? I think that was the first one. And that is pre-Kill Bill, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the trailer that I was talking about. Man, do I love a boxing movie. Like, first of all, I love sports movies, but specifically, you will get me if you put baseball in a movie with Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, you
boxing.
You're amongst friends. You don't have to mutter that. I'm okay with that. I saw
Tin
Cup in the theater, girl.
Yep.
In the theater.
Except for the love of the game, that movie stinks. It stinks. It's a turd.
I don't even know
terrible movie.
What those words are that
ugh,
you're saying. I've
so
never
bad.
Seen it.
But I love boxing movies. Like, so much I love boxing movies. I love every boxing movie. I watch them all. It's like such a perfect metaphor for life.
How do you feel about Digstown?
I have not seen that one.
What? Rhea?
I'm sorry, Ricky. You just stabbed the wall.
I did. Oh, Rhea, I thought that you would be all over that Louis Gossett Jr.
Oh, yeah, I should be. I'm going to go correct that this weekend. I'll get into it. I thought it was going to be Tay Digstown. But the trailer, I don't know, it looks good. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I will not be an apologist about it. I liked him in, I mean, he was brilliant in Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
That movie is insane, like actually insane. And I think he's brilliant in that movie. And this is like, now he's like huge and jacked in this movie as a boxer. And I will go see that movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure,
yeah.
I'll go see that movie.
Yeah, Gyllenhaal, he's on point. Like if he makes a movie, I'm interested now.
Yes, except for, what was the video game movie?
Oh,
that
Prince
did?
Of Persia.
Oh, boy.
Oh yeah, no thank you to that. But he's like, yeah, I mean, what was the one we just saw? Nightcrawler's amazing.
Yes.
Zodiac.
Man,
I mean,
that is, I talk about that movie incessantly on this podcast, and I will not stop talking
Please
about
don't.
That movie.
Please
I watch
don't.
It so much that I think I'm a serial killer now. But I love that movie so much. It's so good.
Yeah. It's
he's
really
great in it.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. is great in it. Mark Ruffalo is great in
Thank
it.
You.
God, it is so good.
Yeah. It's three. And those are three people who can carry their own movie.
I know.
You get them all in one. And
yeah.
It kind of feels like three standalone movies within it.
Have we
I
done
mean,
that
it's just
for this
a
podcast?
Layered movie.
Can we do that for this podcast? I feel like it's a stretch.
We would be stretching it.
But people would be into it.
I mean, maybe a Halloween episode or something.
Well, yeah. Or we should do it while Cameron's on hiatus.
Or maybe
she's
a Cameron's
terrified
on hiatus episode.
And it's also takes place a lot in the summer. So it's like kind of
Ooh.
A good summer movie.
Yeah.
So just, hey, maybe we'll do. I get headaches.
I have
so
been
terrifying.
Very tempted to YouTube that, like, if that was recorded
oh,
on
boy.
Live TV, is that not out there somewhere?
I don't want to see it.
I know
that
there's also the part of my brain that's like, Ricky,
like,
what are you doing?
You can't unsee it
yeah,
once you
yeah.
see it because it's terrifying in reproduction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. So, Ricky, you saw a trailer today? You caught up on some?
I did see a trailer. Rhea, I hope I'm not throwing you for a curveball here, but we were talking about Netflix so much, and I started watching something on Netflix that's action sci-fi oriented, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. Because the Wachowskis have a new show
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah, Sense8.
Sense8, and I watched the first episode of that today. Have you watched that show? Do you
know
anything about
I'm
this
terrified.
Show?
I'm terrified. Just because people have been like, what?
I don't know what the Wachowskis are always doing, but I love what they're trying
sure.
to do.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what this show is yet. I mean,
how much have you watched?
One episode.
Yeah.
One episode. And it's, I mean, it's eight people all around the world, and somehow they're all connected by this vision of Daryl Hannah in a church.
A mermaid?
I mean, if she might as well be a mermaid. I wouldn't be like, nope, that's weird. I'd be like, all right.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot going on in this show, and they just go for it. They do the things that we want to see in movies that we talk about on this show, and whether they succeed at them or not, I'm always just like, well, fucking A for effort on that.
Sure, and I feel like they're first draft filmmakers.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that. I don't mean that as like a bad thing. I mean they're like. Ideally, I will have them turn into a refrigerator,
yes.
And then their love, you know, their love can take s'mores out of them. And, you know, it's like whatever they think of, they're like, nope, that's what we're doing. And they just go for it, like you said. They swing for the fences.
I'm interested to see if the thing that attracted them to doing TV is to mess around with the format of how a story is told. Because this whole thing with eight people sharing this vision... They like it's almost like a you know like Mr. Show used to like just seamlessly edit into another sketch.
Yeah,
that's kind of how this happens sometimes. Where you're like watching somebody perform in a scene, watch a character do something, and then they start doing like the movements of a character from like three scenes before, or they'll just mutter this little line of dialogue. Where I'm just like,
so like a herald,
very much like a herald.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so do I like so it's just like oh do I need to watch this show this way? It doesn't like does it matter if I like binge watch it? It's just a very much like, you have my attention yet again.
Yeah.
You know?
Wachowskis. Doing it every time.
And representing Chicago.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
It's on point.
Well, the last thing that I'll say that we don't even have to discuss, because I think it's kind of crazy, is that James Cameron is into Terminator Genesis. And I didn't read all of his quotes because there are spoilers for the movie, and I don't really want to necessarily get spoiled because I'm going to go see it. But... He's like, I saw it from a fanboy perspective, and if you like the movies, I consider this one to be the third one.
Mm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Them's big words. So I can't wait. I kind of can't wait to see it, just because, like, it seems nuts. So.
Oh, yeah.
We'll definitely be doing it on this show.
Oh.
Ricky.
These are the things we do for you people.
We do it. We do them all. And
this is the equivalent of me running into a burning building.
To watch Terminator Genesis.
So there's one TV left in there, and it's showing
and it's
Terminator
on
Genesis.
Fire.
You have to go see it, Ricky. Yeah. Fine.
Fine.
Tell my Blu-rays I love them.
And we'll be back with a new installment of What's Poppin' right after this.
Hi, I'm Julie Sabatier, host of Rendered, a show about making meaning and breaking rules. Tune in to hear how learning to butcher could change your life, why turning to the internet for health advice is sometimes a good idea, and what happens when artists are really honest.
I mean, I think of most of my career in music and art as a bunch of failures, you know?
So what keeps you going with it, then? Check out Rendered now at MaximumFun.org or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Oh, man, we're back. We're still recovering from all that talk about Terminator. I know, it's tough. And we still haven't even done the first Terminator on this movie.
We
show,
haven't?
Have we? I don't...
Oh, wow.
We haven't. Lindsay is shaking her head to let me know that I'm correct.
Are we sure that James Cameron, who made that quote, was not a Terminator himself?
I mean,
I want to check his heart pulse.
Good point.
You know?
Good point.
That's a little too, like, did the red light glow go in his eye when he said that? Yeah.
We'll be back. No. But we are back with a segment that I love. It's very dear to my heart. We're back with What's Poppin'. So, Ricky, what's poppin'?
Oh, well, it's another lovely day in Popcorn Land.
Oh, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
yes.
A couple of people tweeted at me about No Junk June, and they asked me if popcorn counts. Now, it should, but I'm not counting it. Because it can be healthy, and if you make it healthy... It's a decent snack.
I say you can live off it.
Yeah, you can.
You can live off it when the times are tough.
Yeah. Tough get poppin'. Oh. So, Ricky, what's your poppin' recipe for this week? Because it's not for the core, right? It's not for the movie that we're reviewing.
It's not for the core,
It's for a different one.
It's for a different one. It's for a movie that I went to go see at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, a movie that was actually reviewed on this show.
Ah.
Excuse me, but if there's anything I like more than making popcorn for myself, it is making popcorn for my friends.
Yes.
When either they come over for a movie watching experience or we go on a movie journey. And we went, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery screenings are back in effect. I went to go see Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Nice.
At the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Synespia. I love you. Friends of the show, Synespia.
They listen.
They do. I gave them a shout out on Twitter. When you go stop bullshitting and show Barry Gordon's The Last Dragon, Synespia, I see you hitting that star on my tweet. So, let's take it to the next level and make it happen. So I'm also going to see Do the Right Thing this Saturday in the cemetery.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
is it sold out?
I don't know if it is, okay. But you should break into that piece of
I should break up with my fiance. Go to that movie.
Go to that movie. When you're standing there, we're dancing. I'll say, Rhea, wasn't it all worth it?
Yes.
Went to go see Close Encounters of the Third Kind with some of my favorite people. And I made for them, how many times do I have to say this? I don't make popcorn. I don't go to a store and buy like some goddamn animal make popcorn in the microwave.
No,
I mean, what
that's
are you
disgusting.
Doing to yourself?
The only store-bought way that you can make popcorn, in my estimation, is Jiffy Pop.
Thank you. Exactly.
It's the only fun way.
Thank you. I mean, you need to use fire like our ancestors
yes.
did for the first time back in the caves.
Yes.
And they discovered it. That's how I see myself making popcorn. My stove is the black monolith.
Yeah.
And I light it.
You throw a bone at it.
Goddamn right I do. I throw those kernels up into the air and it transforms into a beautifully popped kernel of goddamn corn. Oh.
It's like that Regal Cinema intro I was talking about last week. Pop. Last second. Ah!
I mean, just science at its most raw.
Sure. Which we'll be talking about later when we review the core.
Oh,
so what was your ingredients list for this popcorn that you made for?
For a cemetery. I made popcorn for the people, dead or alive.
Yes.
Shout out to that coconut oil that is still being used that was sent to me. Now I use it to grill vegetables as well. Like tonight for dinner, I had a lovely grilled veggies with peanut butter sandwich.
Ooh.
Oh, but that veggies with coconut oil.
Delish.
Treats you right. I went, you got to go with the traditionals on there. You got to go with salt.
Mm-hmm.
I went with some crushed black pepper on there. I went with some basil.
Ooh.
I went with
dried basil?
This fancy little spices thing that, like spins.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah. I'm a little domesticated.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. I am a little domesticated.
You're no animal.
No, I'm not. I'm not no goddamn animal. some basil on there. I have this one that's just called, Italian seasonings.
Oh, yeah.
Threw some of that on there. Threw some damn stank on there.
Yes, put some stank on it.
Let it pop. Put it back. And then I put them all in these individual containers. But in each container, I melted some more coconut oil.
Ooh.
Sprinkled that on top. And then put some, I made five of them. In three of them, I put caramel seasonings on there, for caramel corn. And in the other two, I put cheddar cheese seasonings on there. Which
wow.
I'm not crazy about the cheddar cheese because it's orange.
Yeah.
And I don't know, something about
Man, do I love cheese popcorn.
And I shook all those mugs up.
Man, that sounds really good.
I was really going for a vibe of lightness with
yeah.
it. I didn't want anything I didn't want to make it too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So everything just lightly sprinkled on there. And I mean, if you ever want to watch one of the greatest science fiction movies of all time.
Yes.
In a cemetery.
Got to keep it light.
I mean, it's going to get heavy, so you got to keep it light.
Got to keep it real light. Well, that sounds like a delicious recipe that I am definitely going to try.
Well, I mean.
Because I need more basil in my life. You know what? I'm going to make that recipe, and I am going to watch The Great Mouse Detective.
As you should.
Basil. So,
oh, man.
And then my little, like, sub-segment to your What's Poppin'.
Yeah, so it's been a minute since we've done this.
And I can't remember what the name of it is.
We are great with not knowing the names of our segments.
But tonight I'm going to call it So the Pop. Ooh. Soda Pop. So the Pop. I like to recommend a drink to have with the movie that we're reviewing, which is The Core this week. The Core. So I am going to recommend a Mountain Dew Code Red.
Ooh.
In honor of the hacker that's in this movie. So, you know what? Crack open a bottle of Code Red if you haven't for a while, which you probably haven't because you're a healthy person. But get on that Code Red. See what's up.
It's tasty.
It's real good. It's refreshing.
I ain't going to lie. It's tasty.
It is. All right, so Code Redders and Basil Popcorners, we'll be back with our review of The Core after this.
Hey, Wham Bam Powers. If you enjoyed this show and are looking to get into audio production, you should apply for Max Fun's first ever production fellowship. It's a year-long contract position where we'll offer training and you'll work hands-on for Max Fun shows. Our application deadline is June 15th, so apply now. Details are at MaximumFun.org/fellowship.
All right, we're back with the big ender of the show, the big part of the show. I don't know.
The big ender.
My coffee just ran out in my body. I drank it before I got here, so that was just bad timing on my part. But our movie this week is 2003's epic disaster film.
Oh, just
The Core.
A visual spectacle, would you say?
Yes, I would say that. It's available on Netflix Watch Instant right now, so you can totally watch it. We are going to talk about the movie and its plot openly, so if you don't want to get spoiled on The Core, pause us right now, watch it, come back, or just get spoiled because we're very funny.
Sometimes we're doing you a favor,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, sometimes we're just telling you about a movie that like you don't need to see.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll get to that in a minute. Let me give you some stats on this movie. Let's see. It's directed by John Amiel, whose only other movies that I recognized were Summersby and Copycat. He also directed...
Copycat, okay.
Yeah, The Man Who Knew Too Little, starring...
Is that the Bill Murray joint?
Yeah, Bill Murray. The Bill Murray joint. This was written by Cooper Lane and John Rogers. Cooper Lane's image on IMDb, by the way, is a selfie taken in a mirror.
Oh, nice. Things are going well for him.
He also worked on Coneheads and The Fog. This other John Rogers worked on Catwoman, Transformers, and Leverage. So there you go. Some movies.
And those are movies.
But this movie has got like a crazy cast. Like I wouldn't say that it's major. It's a weird mix of people. It's an interesting mix of people.
Yeah.
Because it's got some serious character actors. In
oh,
this movie.
Absolutely.
And then also Oscar winners in this movie.
damn right.
Which is crazy. It stars Aaron Eckhart, Hilary Swank,
Bam,
Delroy Lindo,
what,
Bruce Greenwood.
Come on, the white man Sean Bean, Bruce Greenwood, you say?
Oh my God. Yeah. Everybody. Bruce Greenwood is everybody.
He is. And like Sean Bean, will not make it to the end of the movie. Does not make it to the end of the movie.
Richard Jenkins, for crying out loud.
What?
I mean, like, it's got so many. Alfre Woodard is in this movie.
Come on now.
And Stanley Tucci is in this movie.
You're burying the lead.
I know. There's
Stanley Tucci.
DJ Qualls is in this movie.
DJ Qualls, not a DJ.
No. It's kind of shocking the amount of people. The dude who gets his arms sunburnt on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, he's somebody, right?
Yes. I don't know his name, and I can't find it in IMDb because it's too hard to find, but like, he's somebody that's in a lot of stuff.
He's
in so many things.
When I saw that dude, I was like, you're that guy who, like, when they go to a movie and it cuts to, like, other people, you're like that. You know what? I think he's Is he in Fight Club? No, he's not the priest in Fight Club,
he
is.
That's exactly who he is. Great job, Ricky. Great job.
These are off of the dome piece, people.
That great job.
I just have Gil Bellows in my head.
Yeah.
I just like a vision. It hits me.
Good job. I think that one of my favorite instances in this movie, and like really describes this movie.
Yes.
Is Stanley Tucci is like explaining, like, of course we can't drill to the center of the earth
mm-hmm.
and set the core a spinning again. But what if we could? And that's the movie.
Yeah.
That's like the whole movie. Like, it does not care about reality whatsoever.
No.
I mean,
that
is,
whenever in like the hey, but what if that's their get out of jail free card. You're absolutely right. Whenever it's like, yeah, but what if we get down there and this happens? Yeah, well, that's science, baby. Yeah. Anything can happen. And then he lights a cigarette.
Yes. Oh, so
Stanley Tucci. May I say now that this movie has the right Tucci?
Oh, wow.
I fell out of my couch when I wrote that down,
oh,
Rhea.
Oh, so good.
And I wrote it down.
And they, speaking of writing, this is one of the oddest written movies I've seen in a long time.
Because
mm-hmm. They try to make it funny.
Yeah.
So, like, Aaron Eckhart keeps trying to do these one-liners that fail throughout the whole movie.
I think those are ad-libs.
On purpose. Yeah. And they're terrible jokes. And, like, then there's a scene where Hilary Swank is, like, waiting, and then they call her name, and she's got something in her mouth, and then she's, like, trying to figure out what to do with it, and then she swallows it.
Yeah.
Doesn't even need to be in there.
These are called character developments.
It's not at all. Like, she's chewing gum, and she's got to get rid of it and choose to swallow it. Like, okay. Like,
yeah.
And they also, but the one that kills me, the one that gets me so much in this movie is the fact that Aaron Eckhart's friend, his, like, former mentor, whatever, the French guy.
Yeah.
That's the weapons expert. His name is Serge. Not Serge.
No.
Serge.
Yeah.
Now, I know that this is a name that people have.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it is, that's how this gentleman wants it pronounced.
Yes.
That's how it should be pronounced. But then, because they wanted to have that joke early on, that it is not Serge, it is Serge.
Mm.
So that he could correct everybody when he meets them. Then, throughout the rest of the movie, every actor is stuck with having to say the name Serge.
Yeah.
Which is very hard for an American accent. It's also just a hard name to say. And Aaron Eckhart has to scream it. He has to be like, Serge! Serge! It is so funny to me that they, like, made their actors do that.
Damn. Rhea, I would say... Not since Beverly Hills Cop, when Bronson Pinchot introduced himself as Serge, have I laughed so much at hearing the name Serge over and over again.
Yes. And speaking of just like the... I love Hilary Swank so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's great for obvious reasons. Million Dollar Baby, Boys Don't Cry, come on. She's great. I also love her accent. Like, just her accent that she has. Like, she pronounces... She's a little bit Jodie Foster
mm-hmm.
in
yeah.
her pronunciation of things.
There's kind of a twang
yeah,
in there,
yeah, she's got
right?
a twang that she's, like, hiding, and that she's got the jawline that she's...
Solid jawline acting by Hilary Swank.
So much. But I love
chiseled.
That they made her say the line, Deep Earth, this is Virgil. I sat up on the couch and laughed, Deep Earth, this is Virgil? Oh, God. It's so good. And then, what was it? Oh, and then we'll get into our best and worst after this. This movie came up with unobtainium?
I think unobtainium is a real thing.
Right.
Unobtainium is a real thing, but I don't think this movie...
But this
I think
is like the first instance of it in a movie.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Because I feel like unobtainium is something like we laugh at, but then like we hear it's real and we go, oh... Or at least when I heard it was real, I was like, oh, really? Well, they need to stop selling it in movies.
Right.
Like,
yeah, like it's so...
let's call it unobtainium. Like, yeah. No, that's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that you're right, but I'll just go.
Am I giving, I might be giving the core
too much
scientific credit.
So, Ricky, actually, I'm going to let you pick this week. Do you want to do bests first or
okay.
do you want to do worsts first?
Oh, I mean, there's. Let's do worst first. Let's knock that out.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that.
Why don't you go first?
Well,
Ricky, what's your worst part?
The worst part of this movie. It's hard to. This was a fun movie to think that to watch and be like, this is terrible.
Yes,
this is terrible.
Wholeheartedly agree with you.
I knew where the stakes were at in this movie when it starts off. The level here's the level of threat that is happening. A business meeting can't happen.
Yeah.
You are telling me business can't happen? Oh my God, the world is in dire need. Right away, I was like, okay, here we... They never tell you what the business is.
No.
Oh, we're going to... Let's go
There's
in there and
like
make
Earth
that $3 million deal.
Yeah, like none of it... The beginning of this movie makes zero sense.
I was like, what's going on here? All right. And then it just keeps going. It just keeps... At one point, another scene that shows you the world is falling apart. It's like the birds meets... It's a mad,
oh, yeah.
mad world.
Yeah.
This scene, it just goes on forever with these birds dying and this... Big red
flopping
bus.
Flopping into everything.
Yeah, like,
just like,
when is the music going
like,
to start?
Why didn't people just go like, whoa,
yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah,
like, everybody just freaks out and just starts running in all directions. Yeah,
there's a lot of good sky looking
yes.
acting in this
oh,
movie.
Yeah.
What's happening up there?
Yeah. yeah.
Up there.
A lot of that.
But this, my worst thing would be this is 2003 CGI
oh.
at its C+.
No, yeah.
I mean,
they just went for it, man.
That sequence, that whole space shuttle sequence.
I mean, come on. First of all, the space shuttle would never fit in the LA River.
No.
There's no way.
Is pressurization a thing in movies? Because in other movies, science, you have told me that is a thing. And in this one, you are saying it is not a thing. I can just go through the clouds or from the core of the earth right back up
oh, yeah.
and no problem.
And everything's fine. I mean, I just put on this different suit.
Yeah. And also, where can I get one of those great red suits to go down to
yeah.
the center of the earth?
Oh, my God. It is that. I mean, I had a lot of fun watching that
Absolutely.
Scene. It like we keep saying, it is a fun movie to
yes.
watch. It's like, I watch it by myself, but to watch it with like everybody else and like talk over it. Oh, so good. So
yeah.
your worst is the CGI?
That's CGI. I mean, prime 2003 CGI.
There's a part near the end where the whole environment is just straight up CGI. And I'm like, man, they just made that thing.
They
looks like Wolfenstein, you know? Like, it just is a lot of marble.
Oh, wow.
A lot of purple hue on everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it's just... Okay, so... I think that
Rhea, what would be your worst part
thank
of this
you,
film?
Film. I wish it said Finn at the end. And speaking of CGI, they use CGI for their credit sequence for crying out loud at the end.
Final credit sequence. I mean, that opening credits. I mean,
they're all crazy.
Not since
they're
Fight
like,
Club.
Hey, this is a movie. Here it is.
Oh.
Oh,
man.
It's so okay. So my worst part.
Yes. Say that shit, girl.
I think it's got to be, it's like a tie between the junk science, but because like, it's hard for me to say that it's the junk science because they go so far with it that, because to even try to make this movie realistic must have been an absolute chore. Like to try to.
Oh, for sure.
We can't.
Yeah.
We cannot do what you're, so like to try to, yeah. And then the amount of time spent on things that don't matter. Like, we spend all this time seeing people, like, why? We don't even see Aaron Eckhart and Hilary Swank get out of the ocean.
No.
And we're presuming they were saved, right? But we don't see it. We just see the hacker, like, go into the... what is this ending of the movie?
Great. He goes into the cyber cafe.
He hacks this... He also says... So you want me to hack the planet?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Also, he's useless. That character...
I still don't know exactly...
He doesn't even do anything.
Yeah.
He just like, goes out on an aircraft carrier and is like, the whales! And then they cut to nothing.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
They had to fly him out there on the, for that one shot, for that one beautiful shot. That I like to think about that when I'm watching a movie like this. Like, all right, they had to fly him to wherever this base is in the middle of the ocean or the middle of the sea, set that camera up and get
the
all
Navy
of that.
Had to be like, sure. The Navy had to read that script and be like, yeah, we're on board with this. And then they had to get money to pay the Navy to let them use it. It's like, you're kidding me, right? You're kidding me. Anyway, so Ricky, what's your best part?
Oh, this is, a great movie to yell at.
Oh, yeah.
Just be like, what the heck is going on here?
And just
here?
Say what over and what?
What? All right. Delroy Lindo's been building what? Okay.
A box for his rat? Okay.
Delroy Lindo's really great in this.
He's really good in this
movie. Delroy Lindo is really good. The movie that he's in and the movie that Stanley Tucci are in, oh, I want to see a movie with just those two guys.
Oh, yeah, because I found that relationship actually to be pretty fascinating.
Yeah, right?
After Delroy Lindo like goes out and they share that, like, I wish we were doing this together, yeah. I was like, this is kind of like they're in love with each other a little bit. And I liked it.
There's two things are happening in that movie. Where it's these like A-plus actors, I would say Aaron Eckhart, Hilary Swank, mm-hmm. Delroy Lindo, and Stanley Tucci, where they are so far above the material that they're saying. But for Aaron Eckhart and Hilary Swank, it's almost like they can't break that, like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, they don't know how to.
But for Delroy Lindo and Stanley Tucci, they know when to turn that on and be like, you want to see me? You want to see me act? God damn it. I'm going to act the shit out of this scene right here.
I think the benefit that those two characters got is having, like, crazy out, like, stuff on them.
Oh, yes.
Stanley Tucci has an insane hairpiece.
It is great.
And it is like an extra character. It's like a tribble up there.
And then Delroy Lindo's beard is solid.
And he's got those, like, wild scientist glasses that he can act around.
Aaron
Eckhart and Hilary Swank, it's, like, supposed to be this love interest thing that never really gets off the ground.
Right? Oh, we need to get a camera in here sometimes.
Yeah, we'll live stream it.
I almost wanted there to be a moment, too, where they're so awkward together. Like, I wanted that awkward moment of, like, hey, why are we trying to do this? We should be saving the planet.
Yes. Isn't that? Yeah.
It was just, like, so...
It's very tacked on.
Yeah.
Because I liked that it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
you've been fine.
I don't think I'd be falling in love if I'm... in the center of the earth.
Right, exactly.
I think I'd be, like, terrified all the time. I mean, it would definitely forge relationships.
I haven't stopped sweating in 6 days. What the hell? Exactly. What are we doing down here?
I'm very tired. But my best part...
Maria, what would you say your best part of this movie is?
Is actually, like, a real best part, which is that they cast Alfre Woodard as ground control. Because I was, like, telling Cameron how crazy this movie was, and I was like, but you're never going to believe this. There is a black woman as ground control in this movie, and it is such brilliant. I mean, she's an amazing actress. When do you ever see a woman as ground control in a science movie with astronauts or NASA or anything? Ever. Mm. I cannot think of one. And she's also black. That's great. When have you ever seen a black person as ground control? Never. So that's my best part.
I was trying to think of a not since. Not since that dude who's not Mac from Night Court in Contact. Not since that guy.
Yeah.
If we've been this excited about a black person. I don't know if it's ground control, but he's the guy who's like talking to.
Oh, is he? Well,
yeah,
then
to
I'm
Jodie
completely...
Foster. Jodie Foster, Jesus Christ, Ricky.
That was a really great Freudian slip. We really need to leave that in.
Oh, please leave that in.
That's what she said.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
What's wrong with me?
Anyway, well, I misspoke about Contact. But anyway, there's not been a woman before, so I think that's amazing. Anyway, so
absolutely.
I think for this movie, we should have two separate ratings.
Ooh.
One. Mm-hmm. That is for fun, and one that is for being a movie.
Okay.
So on your fun rating,
yes,
I'm just gonna say 1 out of 5. How many do you give it for fun?
Out of 5, I would give it 4.
Yeah.
Out of 5, yeah, this is fun. You're gonna have fun.
Yes. I will also give it 4, like, bouncy houses of fun.
Mm-hmm.
For a rating of fun. So Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5. I wonder how long it took them to make that hole in that rock. I wonder how long it took them to make that hole in that rocks. Do you think it?
I would give this movie two.
Two?
How
yeah.
many? What? I don't even. What was it?
It doesn't
how
even
many?
Matter. There's so many things to it. And then I, on a scale of, for mine, I'll do on a scale of 1 to 5. Why the hell is their ship floating in any way while they're going through the
what?
Rocks?
Why wouldn't it be?
Hard things. Why is it floating around?
Science, baby. Where's my cigarette?
Science. I give it 1. Why is it floating around? Why is their penis ship floating around? Ugh, it's a weird movie, but fun to watch with friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our movie for the week, The Core. And next week we will be watching Spy, yay! Which is now in theaters. So check that out. We're going to be reviewing it next week. So Ricky, what do you want to leave everybody with this week?
I'll be leaving you with this, Rhea. We are in a good time for music right now. Another great album came out, and we've been waiting for like a new Chance the Rapper album for a minute, and then this thing just showed up last week. This album by Donnie and the I want to make sure I get the name of Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment, and I was like, well, that sounds fun. And I'm like, yeah, that's the new Chance album. Chance has an album out, and it's by Donald Trumpet and the Social Experiment. It's not a Chance the Rapper album. Like, it's not his album. He's got this band that he plays with, and they're all, like, Chicago people, and it's great. And he has, Erykah Badu's on that mug. Busta Rhymes is on it. Bilal is on it. It's so good. It just is. Sometimes Chicago hip-hop, like, hip-hop is just known for being very much like, I'm the shit, and you're not the shit.
Yes.
Prove to me that your shit is hotter than mine, but I'm the shit. And then there's some rappers who come along who, like, yeah, I'm the shit, but I'm not just gonna rap about how like dope I'm the shit. I'm just gonna you're just gonna get that vibe that I'm the shit, and it's just like fun music.
Yes.
And that's like what this album is right now. It's called Surf, and it's just like it feels like a block party, like a fun Chicago summer block party.
Nice.
There's a lot going on in it. It's very jazzy.
Cool.
But damn, is it fucking good.
Check
There's
that
song,
shit out.
Yeah, check that shit out. Check out, it's this song in it called Wanna Be Cool. Oh, man.
That's the one.
Oh, put that shit on in the AM.
Put that one on.
Put that mug on.
Well, the other thing that I think you should put on is Jen Kirkman's Netflix special. It's called I'm Gonna Die Alone and I Feel Fine. I watched it the other day. It is a perfect stand-up special. It is brilliant material that is solid. It's shot in a way that I actually haven't seen many comedy specials shot. There's no audience shots. There's no applause breaks. There's no water breaks. It is just boom, in your face, like not in your face, like whoa, this is like just it starts and then she just goes. And it's so good. It's so, you know, I don't hear a lot of female comedians described as universal. So I will describe this as universal. Because she's speaking from an experience that we can all relate to as human beings on the planet. And I think that this is like, everybody's like, Louis C.K. is talking about himself, but it applies to so many people. I feel the same way about this special. And I just think it's really great. I love what she's doing in her jokes. And I think everybody should check it out because I think it's a brilliant piece of stand-up. And it's great. So check that out. And so until next week.
I am Coco Pelao.
And I am Rhea Butcher. And you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Max Fun Studios by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you, Max Fun. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.